Good evening. Welcome to The Art of Living. You can wait a few seconds. In this series, Art of Living, each Monday we take one subject and we look at it, we look at how spirituality could be applied to that area in our daily life. And as you know, tonight we're going to look at Art of Writing with Sarah. Before going into that, we have a little tradition to look at, summarize the previous workshop. Last Monday was The Art of Retirement. That was very, very beautiful subject. I was really appreciating a new angle on it. And I think the whole workshop was somehow giving new perspective, reframing as if the concept of retirement, challenging our unquestioned beliefs about it. Some of us may have some beliefs about retirement, something maybe unknown. We may not be fully happy with the idea, or maybe not. But a few points that stand out for me. One was very interesting. Prashanta was giving The Art of Retirement, and he was saying real retirement would be retirement from our identities and from our attachments. As if the whole life we have grew these attachments and these roles, these identities in our lives. And that would be a good retirement, to retire from the roles that we are playing. And that would give us good freedom to explore something else. What a beautiful idea. New, something new, a new angle. You don't need to withdraw from action. You don't need to withdraw from anything, actually. Just retire from the identification with the role. And another angle, another point that was very beautiful, it was this cross-cultural perspective on retirement. And Prashanta was speaking about India, where there is a tradition to split the life in four phases, about 25 years each. And first there is a phase of student life, when the student is fully committed only to study and discipline. And then there is a phase of householder, with everything everyone knows, more or less. And then a third phase of retirement. And then a fourth phase of being a sannyasin, or being enlightened in the society. And then he was speaking about this retirement phase as being so important and so beautiful. Contrary to our beliefs, actually people are looking forward to getting to this phase. Because in this phase, he was saying, it is a time we can dedicate ourselves to search for the truth, to search who we really are, and to really understand this. And then he was saying, why wait until you're 50 to do that? You can start this inquiry at any time, any age, young or old. We could actually could go into that phase much earlier and start to educate ourselves and maybe put some commitment, some discipline, some love for understanding this. And this was very nice, I believe, from the educational point of view. It would be really nice to see how we can have that more in our society. And having free time apparently is very good. We have time to understand ourselves. It's, structure will appear, you were saying. If there is a good number of people interested in this, in that town, in that community, the structure will appear to support them to do that. So tonight, Art of Writing with Sarah, Sarah has a background in interior design, and she is acting now as an English teacher for foreign students in Cambridge. She is from Cambridge. She has been studying and teaching Raja Yoga philosophy for a few years now, with lots of happiness as I see it. And she writes every day. Every day I can see her studying and writing, handwriting at least one page. So this must make her quite an expert in writing, isn't it? How many of us are writing every day one page, handwriting, churning ideas and thoughts and, maybe not that much. Handwriting might be important. So she's definitely an expert only with this attribute. I'm looking forward to hear from her. We're going to have maybe 25 minutes, 30 minutes presentation from Sarah, followed by some discussion, questions, and we're going to finish with meditation.
Okay. Hello. I realized this topic is important subsequently after being asked to talk about it. Okay, I'm not a writer, but I did write a poem when I was 20, so I'll read it. Short. An underestimated mind is an underestimated man who will lose his pride. A hungry man's pride eats at an underestimated man who will lose his mind. So, at 20, I don't think I really knew what I was writing. I didn't really, but it felt good. I don't know about anyone else if you write diaries now or in the past or in teenage time, but I read something that I wrote at 18, and I didn't realize I was looking for something deeper and reading differently, but it came across clearer than I remember feeling at that time. So for me, I'm basically more using writing as a means to understand myself, quite honestly. So, I mean, writing is such a big topic, we could have 16 talks, workshops just about writing, because you know, we saw these different kinds of writing. But for self-understanding, but in general, I feel it has power, depending on who's using it as well, like any tool. So I just have wrote down some thoughts, but many of you will probably be maybe even writers. Is anyone a writer here, actually, working in publishing? So Semi, what kind of work are you doing?
Well, I write as an academic, I mean, non-fiction.
Yes. So you've got books, experience with both.
Books, book chapters, so.
Yes.
Not creative writing.
Not creative writing.
Well, I mean, it's creative in its own limited way. But
it's got constraints.
Yeah.
It might be nice to hear why, what attracted everyone to this topic, and then it'll be interesting to hear. Well, what about for you, for yourself?
Well, I'm writing a book now, and I don't know, I gonna retire pretty soon. I figure maybe someday I'll write some creative stuff, maybe memoirs or maybe some poetry.
Yes.
But I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you. Maybe we'll hear from you also. What to just do about the topic?
Yeah, I always thought growing up there was something about, say, a book that couldn't be captured in, say, a TV show or a movie or music or so on. And the point you made about writing to understand yourself is something I kind of sympathise with. So, yeah, just that kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, personally write a lot. I do a bit of screenwriting, but, yeah, mainly, as you said, to sort of deal with or explore something that I'm kind of going through or experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I wrote a diary for ages and ages when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I think it went up to about 4 or 5 volumes, and then mm-hmm. I thought, goodness me, you know, what if somebody finds the diary with all secrets about boyfriends? So I got rid of that. But it was very therapeutic and actually, you know, just very good. It sort of consolidates thoughts and things. As you put it down, you know, they really... It clarifies things. Mm. I think writing is very beneficial in many ways, mm. not just to understand yourself, but to understand others as well. And it's mm. just, you know, yeah, totally nothing but praise for writing and mm. writers. Mm. Mm.
Thank you. Prashant is...
Very similar. I have great praise for writers, mm-hmm. you know, they can express things so beautifully and communicate mm-hmm. the message. Mm-hmm. Which I want to learn today.
Thank you.
Well, I agree, it's been said that I loved books when I was growing up, when I was young, and I think it really kind of shaped me, and like it just takes you, I don't know, broad, like, to use a cliche, broadens your horizons, but it does. It takes you somewhere mm. else, somewhere else in the world, into somebody else's mind. Mm. And I think for me it was like a revelation that certain things that I thought only I was going through and nobody could understand, and I would read a book about something similar, and you just kind of feel connected to other people, like somehow you feel like, mm. oh, there's other people with the same issues.
Mm. So it goes beyond cultural boundaries mm. sometimes, and mm. ages.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it made me feel more connected to humanity, maybe. Mm.
Yes.
Well, I think, to be honest, I'm not really that interested in writing, but I was in the building at the time, and then this was happening, and I thought, I don't like to turn down any opportunity where there might be something to learn, and maybe it's, you can apply it, maybe what you're saying can be applied in a more free way, so that I'm thinking, maybe I won't have to do any writing. Maybe I will, I don't know, so,
yeah. It would be nice to see at the end if you felt like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I can relate with pretty much everything that was said here, with relating to the people, and there's something about writing. I'm academic myself, so I'm using writing, I have to write, so I'm using writing as well to slow down my thinking, actually. So it really, really helps me to, if I want to write a paper, I write the first draft, and because I'm writing, it slows down my thinking, I can think properly about what I'm going to say. So there's an instrument of necessity, but there's something more to writing. I remember when I started studying philosophy, and especially Greek philosophy, ancient Greek philosophy, I really was struck by the fact that first philosopher, they were all poets. And this was something tremendous for me to realize that that we philosophize in writing in this kind of way. So this is, it's more than I think what we can sometimes say. It's easier to say than writing. So this is that's my opinion.
Lots of cultural references and experience with the things you've read, and so that broadened.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, when I was researching this, I was realising I was attracted more to the philosophy of writing, in a sense, but it's such a different aspect of it. Yeah, thank you.
I had time to think what I was going to say, nothing. I write for a living. Not creatively, well, no, it is creatively. I write for other people, so I have to write in other people's voices often. Mm-hmm. And I think I find writing easier and safer than speaking, because you have time to think about what you're going to say, and you know, you don't blurt something out and then you can't take it back. But writing, you can edit it and make it how you really mean it, you know, how you want it to be. And I find often I go to write something and it's like my mind's fuzzy. So I like the idea of being able to clear my mind first and then write freely. But I'm often sitting almost like with a blank page but in front of a screen.
Yes.
So I sort of want to be able to clear my mind first and think freely and write freely.
From that space, because it feels like it should be natural for something, because we've experienced so much, especially if you're writing about other people, probably.
Yes.
So you're getting into tuning into it.
It's almost like everyday rubbish gets in the way and blocks.
Yeah.
Just being able to think freely and.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the thing which very much relates to self-understanding and self-development, and I mean, it's a. Hopefully you'll get some thoughts, because the discussion will ultimately end up there in a meditation centre. Can't help it. We end up in that. I actually use writing a lot to feel organised and to understand myself. And even I sort of seem to be without, unable to do without piece of paper. But this is a thing, isn't it, with writing? We want to also understand ourselves in the simplest way possible, so we can access that simplicity inside, and so we can be in that space. How do we tune in, like you were saying, to understand other people? What is it that helps us to be objective? Perhaps that's what we find useful when we read. We get an objective view, perhaps on ourselves, as if you're reading a storybook and you see characters, sometimes you feel something resonates and I understand myself better than I had really articulated, because in the story they've got these characters and I'm seeing something played out objectively. So, question, what is it that helps us in life maybe to become objective of ourselves? Maybe that helps to bring in that newness. Ultimately, meditation is always the answer to everything, which we'll lead to. But certainly, it feels like good writers are ones who are great observers of life. And you read something which could be a mundane, everyday thing, but they write it in such a way that picked up that beauty, that essence. So ultimately, being more aware, not thinking in an ordinary way, so being able to be untrammeled by perhaps, we become numb, don't we, to the everyday things and even our own world. A lot of writing I find very interesting is the ordinary, seeing the wonder in the ordinary, and you've got a whole new genre of sort of postmodernist writing which brings that up. So it's like a celebration of something in simple simplicity. I think bringing things to the essence and leaving out unnecessary words actually is more powerful. And vigorous writing is concise, which is what William Struck said. So it's like you feel you get something very clear and concise, but not always does a good writer give you the picture in a very matter-of-fact way. They actually allude to things and give you the time and imagination to make your own mind, and this is what you find in your writing, if you're doing creative writing.
I write for, I'm a content writer, so I write for, sometimes it's scientific things that are difficult, sometimes it's just a business trying to sell things, sometimes it's very boring stuff like an accountant want me to talk about their tax things. It's difficult.
Interesting that there are more. It's more work in that, probably. So.
Yes.
So maybe this is more pointing to the writing for self-development, creativity. But another aspect before we go into that is the power of writing. And the quote: "The pen is mightier than the sword." And okay, this is used in a political context, and sure, whether one has the option to go for violence or the pen, but it's interesting just to contemplate the power of writing. And sometimes we tend to believe what we read also. There's a sort of, we have to be careful with the internet these days. We sort of, without realizing, we're exposed to things and it goes in. So there is a power, and I think, like you were saying, you actually get the feeling of the person who wrote it. You, without realizing it, you're adopting that perspective, whether you want to or not. I mean, it's not a bad thing at one level, but it is powerful, actually imbibing a belief system or structure. Another thing I was thinking in general about this topic is, what do I want to contribute if I'm writing? And some writing can be very frank and raw, and at the time maybe it's useful in society. And I was exposed to Bukowski. I never really read it, but I don't necessarily recommend reading either, I feel funny to say, because actually he was writing about low life in America during, I think, 60s, 70s, in such a way that it struck people, and it kind of helped to give context to something that had been unspoken. He said what was maybe taboo in society. But does it, for me now, I'm thinking, what do I want to contribute? Is it uplifting? So on one side there's honesty, and I think that authenticity and honesty brings, we can't compromise on that, otherwise writing is, it can go into, we can sound good, we can use good words, what, you know, we lose the whole point of it, there's not the honesty, but then is it bringing upliftment? And to reconcile those two aspects perhaps in one's motivation. Another aspect, just in general on this, is the critic, and it's related maybe to being creative in general, and just making a start. How do you make a start? Because this inner critic is such a dominant thing. And, you know, when you read the sort of advice, they say just start. And one aspect, quantity produces quality. I don't know if you would agree with that. Does quality produce, the quantity produce quality?
Not necessarily.
No, it could just go on and on in the same standard. But I think writing and just starting and getting feedback, probably it would stay with quantity, not go to quality, if we didn't accept and embrace criticism, which is, I think, an interesting point. Again, you have to be objective, come and be able to be free to be criticised.
I've been thinking quantity produces. Something survives.
Something survives. Okay, so that really would work. Yeah, maybe.
I think you need the quantity to maybe get to quality, but not that one doesn't necessarily lead to the other one. Mm. But I think even if you're really talented writer, if you write very little,
But do we get the quantity because the writing is not precise enough?
Mm.
Because sometimes with one sentence or one word you can convey so much, you know, and that's magic, isn't it? Sometimes, wow, you know, with just the word or a sentence.
Mm. To get to that sentence, it may come out. But this is interesting. There was one book that I was brought to my attention. It's Writing Down the Bones, and it was written in the 60s, you know, aware of it. And so she makes an interesting point that if you're going to train to be a world-class athlete or any kind of athlete, obviously you accept that 6 hours a day or 8 hours a day is the training. So if you're going to be a writer, why not train? And that means maybe a lot of it is just quantity. But perhaps you need to go through that. She sees it like a training, and certainly that book resonated at the time. So if you want to go into this creativity aspect, perhaps this is one thought, is to allow that process to unfold, and that's where the critic is not being, it's not in the forefront, it's getting the fluidity. I mean, I see it because I'm teaching English as foreign language, and there has to be said some cultural tendencies. And those from the Far East, Japan, they are so perfectionist, and they've been trained in such a way that it has to be right, and it's quite hard to make a mistake somehow. And so on. So then when they write, the grammar is perfect, but it's so slow. And you know, when you see a few students, what will happen further down the line, they don't really make progress. And not all from that culture have this really have manifested this tendency, but some do to some extent. Others who will just make mistakes, they learn and it's completely horribly wrong and you've got loads of grammar to correct, but they get somewhere, so it's a good thing for them. And I spoke today to one of the authors of some of the books downstairs saying, please help me, I want to talk about writing, I'm not really a writer. And he said, I'm not either, I'm a journalist. So I'm like, oh great, I spoke to Neville. But he did say one thing he knew was important is you've got to start well and end well. And that probably you will have this experience.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I'm making a non-fiction case, an argument, and I mainly focus on being clear. In a way, I try to think, will the audience, will the reader understand what I'm saying? Is it precise? Is it clear? Is it succinct? It's not about me so much, it's more about them. Well, the creative writing, maybe it's more about expressing yourself, or learning about yourself, or rediscovering. It's not about me at all. It's about some ideas, and I'm trying to make a coherent, convincing argument, and basically convince the reader. So it's really very different, I think.
Yes.
You totally sublimate your own voice. Well, obviously you can't do that entirely, because different nonfiction writers have different styles and different tones and so on. The problem I have is my mood varies from day to day. So some days I'm a little more expansive, some days I'm a little more careful. And it's not like linear stream of consciousness. You've written, say, 50,000 words, and you come up, you read about a new idea, you know it should be in the book, or you think of it, and you've got to go back and figure out where does it fit in the mosaic? Not just in terms of the logic, but in terms of its tone. So you have to sort of figure out what... So the mood varies from day to day, and that makes it more complicated. To give it a similar sort of tonality. Well, not that it has to be absolutely similar, but, you know, at least coherent. So I find some days I write fast, some slow. I mean, it's... And, but somehow you want it to be a single work in the end. And that sort of coherence, you have to go back many times and rewrite things. And like a big jigsaw puzzle. So, I don't know, writing a novel, like, well, if you have a complex plot, I think the same thing happens probably. You gotta go back and insert these things in a way that flows. So, with poetry, I think you're freer. You can just sort of let it flow.
Depending on the type, I guess, but,
But in poetry, clarity is, you know, a lot of most moving, touching poetry is sort of, you know, not that clear.
Right. Sounds like
it's sort of
artistic license.
And, you know, sort of
yes.
A conundrum or whatever.
I think back to him with fiction. Writing, you're taking your reader on a journey from a start through the middle to the end, whatever you're writing about. And so, you know, if you're writing an argument, you're still walking them through the argument to the end point.
There is a sort of beginning, middle, and end, but sometimes you jump ahead to the end or back to the beginning. I mean, there are some discontinuities, but generally you're right.
Kind of, yeah.
There's a sort of logical stream. But then there's these little danglers, sometimes you have to jump forward or back up a bit.
That's more so with fiction, that you can...
You can go on, you can reverse time, you can turn things upside down.
But I suppose the satisfaction is that there is this, there's some thread, but then there is the essence in the expansion, but there needs to be the essence, I guess, but there's different genres. I want to bring another aspect, which is about self-development, but in it should lead to enriching every aspect, whatever it is, and should it be something that creates that stability, so whatever we're doing externally has some clarity brought to it. I read a quote which leads to that. If any man wishes to write in a clear style, let him first be clear in his thoughts. And if any would want to write in a noble style, let him first possess a noble soul. Does anyone know who wrote that? So Goethe. And I think it's an interesting one, because this sounds like, do you write? And you have to wait until you have the noble soul. How do we get there? And so it kind of comes together for me with, to learn, we need to start writing if we want to get. For me, writing could be a means to understand the thoughts, because as was said, it's a process of understanding the self. So you could write what you know, or you could write what you want to know. And this is what I spend my time doing. If I find my mind wandering, meditation is great if you can sit and have elevated thoughts, or positive elevated thoughts, and sit. It's like the philosophy behind this, you can create and reflect on elevated thoughts, and it brings you into that space where there is natural clarity. So spiritual model would say that we all have a reference point for that inner clarity, wisdom, stability, peace, which brings natural feelings of love, respect. It's like inherent, we have a reference point for it. But how do we get there? We do need spiritual reflections, contemplation. So I feel it's a lot, it's relating to reading, learning, but also writing, to express and to articulate and to understand. Hopefully this all makes sense. Makes more sense to me when I'm reading, actually. What I'm saying is, to actually understand what this noble mind is, I often use writing to bring myself to that type of mind, that mind. Because in a sense, it is it's something we can access. It's not alien from, it's not something that we need to get from outside, but it's like finding a way to access it and to hold it and to stay with it. And sometimes writing can help with that. For me, this is what I'm using it for. I mean, by noble, we're meaning a higher character, a noble spirit. To take a simple model, which is what I intend to use to understand the spirituality, is an example which is often given here. Say we came in this room, and it may be the first time we're here, or second time, whatever, I've been here before, but we're using this room as guests for about an hour, and we came in, and then sometime we will leave, and it's great, we use everything, but we will leave. And so we have a relationship of a guest with this room. So in the same way, the spiritual model is that the being, or say there is a spirit, the noble spirit, is a guest travelling and is associated with the physical world and has a journey and has an entrance and exit, which is the Shakespeare quote. So in a spiritual premise, it's like there's a journey, and in our meditation we're often reflecting on this very simple aspect, and it brings a different perspective, and it brings a different energy, because actually most of the time we're not thinking bigger picture. I may be in this room, and if I'm here for some time I may forget there is an outside. If one is here for so long, we start to become identified with something here. It brings totally different feelings and energies. And it would seem ridiculous to say that I could get identified with this chair just because I'm sitting on it. But in a bigger map, we may say that if we are not planning to be here forever, we are guests, then this is a spiritual reflections that I tend to use in my writing. Is it making sense so far? any thoughts?
Well, I think this noble spirit, is that what you call it?
Yes, noble soul spirit.
Is probably more, again, applicable to fiction, but even at the end of a non-fiction book, as you probably write as well, you want to maybe not just be clear and convincing and compelling, but you might want to inspire the reader a little bit to actually act on it, or, you know, to believe it in the end. And so that sort of noble, that seems to be an arrow that you pull out of your quiver towards the end of, you know, the last page or two, when you sort of wax a little more, grandiloquent or whatever.
You see, what I was thinking as well, it seems to be like when you get attached to something, and then that energy, let's face it, is just going, it's sort of going nowhere, isn't it? That if that sort of attachment energy, where, unless, I don't know, if it was writing, maybe you want to write in a certain way, or copy a certain way that somebody else writes, and it's, maybe it's not going to get you anywhere, is it? Or, and then sort of, it seems to me like that, how do you find out your voice, or what do you have to be passionate about what you're writing, or passionate about what you're creating? Because otherwise I'm thinking you could just go around in these cycles and then not produce anything, and then have low morale, and then maybe you're just attached to the idea of being a writer, and then not actually doing any writing. I'm not going to do any writing, but I think you're more of it in creative, anything creative. Let's say in painting, it's going to change the subject, but let's say you know how to do watercolours, all you can think in your mind is watercolour or something like that. But let's say what is really inside you, you just want to make a mess and do the abstract.
Mm.
But you just can't get around to it somehow, because let's say you want to do something big, but it's going to take a big space and you're going to make a mess and you haven't got anywhere to do it.
Talk to yourself options.
So how do you get around these obstacles?
Mm.
So,
when you were saying about, it's like, how do you break out the box? Because in a way we are only looking at what others are doing.
Mm.
Well, one thought I had from what you were saying, but maybe others. If to be authentic, you have to be maybe secure.
Mm.
It's like, because we have the answer. Everything is there. You know, we're looking to emerge. It's there, but it's like our mind is so busy and noisy with many thoughts, and even we can think a thought and we talk ourselves out of it by not doing anything. But this is where, for me, it's more working at the level of thoughts, and whether we need to write the thing or not, that's later. But it's like dealing, first of all, because it can only ever come from the quality of our thoughts, quality of our thinking, and that's coming from our positioning, our understanding of ourselves. Whether we're writing it to prove something or to feel self-respect based on the action, these things all pull us into extroversion. But to get that quality, to come back, to take a step back, to be free from the result, there needs to be maybe that introversion. And then maybe that's not forcing it, but things may come from a more secure space.
I was wondering about when we're writing, and this relates a little bit to what you said. When we're writing, we're leaving somehow a trace. So and having different moods every day, we try to have this one personality as a writer. Why not read? When we're writing well, we're quite aware of that, because it flows, and we're happier at the end of the day. And what I'm doing is that I'm rereading the next day when I try to continue writing. I'm rereading very slowly this passage, which I'm happy with, which is this noble, if I'm at my best, which is this noble soul, was it?
Dream.
Yeah. And I think this might help. It's not stepping back actually from something, because but actually engaging in the trace I left yesterday, and which I was happy, so I can connect again with this kind of mood I was in, because I can change my mood of course every day. So mm-hmm. this is what I find sometimes helpful for me actually, and this is really getting back to what I've written. So,
yes.
You know, does it make sense?
Yes. This changing the mood probably is the essence of maybe where you're coming from. But I'll just say one more thing, because I know Ioana has reflections on it. But for me, this is really important, just to be stable and be able to have a method to understand the moods, because this is, after all, the mind can be really busy. So in terms of like a journaling, I don't know if it's what you were saying or not, but you just triggered a thought, so I hope I'm ignoring what you said. But to be honest, lots of time the mind can be so full of just junk, really, to be honest. So I just write whatever's going on in a completely frank, quite raw way. And it's not for repeating, it's just there. And I don't do it for more than 2 minutes, because otherwise I think you create a habit and you just reinforce all this rubbish. But just to let it out, because there's so much going on often with conflicting desires, emotions or feelings, just write it. And after a couple of minutes, it's kind of enough. And I will just look at it a bit impartially. And I take a different perspective on it completely. And so if there is this spiritual understanding, it's something I've been reflecting on for a few years, and it's related to the philosophy here, that there is part of us which is very clear, you know, there is a completely clear and clean view that we know and we can tune into. So I see what I've written, all this junk, and I usually write, it's quite interesting. I realised, and I wrote the opposite, I said that noble mind is secure and doesn't need reinforcement from outside. So what I'd written was a lot about really caring what others think. Then I wrote that original mind or angelic mind doesn't take life too seriously, and that really revealed something to me, because when I read it again, it was so serious. I've really gotten, you know, second, this is, people who know me know I have this habit sometimes, taking things too seriously. That mind is light and playful, and when I looked, it's like literally the opposite. I'm just seeing and knows everything is good, and it's like seeing what would that mind be like that is free from all of this confusion. And it somehow brought different feelings, and it's like as if there's always a level that we can tune into, that there's something something constant, whether we, it's not about belief or not, but it's just they take a premise that there is a spiritual model, a spiritual map, that we are guests here. Why am I getting so, you know, caught? I mean, I'm probably going at a rate of knots through a philosophy which takes time to really get, but it's just a kind of something that I use very practically, and it brings me to the state where there's stability, that mind has a stability to it, and it becomes my feeling. So, other aspects about diary can be very helpful to see where you're at each day, just to see what is helping the mind be consistent. And a certain routine, waking up and having time to reflect. I noticed the benefit of that, because I could see in my diary things were being more balanced. So diary helps to show that. Well, the last thing I'll say then, she knows I've got one more thing here. In terms of, one thing is a chart, which is like a diary, but it's more you measure yourself against, you have an aim, so you can say you're reflecting on something you've learned today that you want to perfect tomorrow, and making an aim in the morning and then in the evening to reflect back and see how you did. It's like a diary but with an aim. Something I've experimented with from time to time, but I'm reminding myself also that it's a bit strict. But if you don't set a name, you don't know if you've broken it. So it's like a personal, beyond the results of the external. It's like an inner aim.
But your audience is yourself when you write a diary, I guess? You're writing it for yourself?
Yes, but it has repercussions for others. It's often the case where I'm realizing the answer, the problem lies with me, and so does the answer. Because I realize maybe in my attitude to others, the way I speak to others, if I have paid attention to something internally, then actually I'm allowing something beautiful to emerge for them. Maybe I'm so thinking about myself because I haven't addressed something and I can, some kind of confusion or need internally. If I address that, then I'm more free to actually listen to someone else. So it is about myself, but it's actually common in that sense.
But journaling also helps you realize at what stage of evolution you are. So if you journaled yesterday or a month ago and you had problems or doubts or things and you reread it a month or a few weeks later, you can actually tell, you can see what a long way you've come or what changes have taken place. So that is very beneficial.
It's very beneficial. And also a word of caution, someone had a nice quote. She said, the quote was, "When I wrote that, both God and I knew what it meant. Now God only knows."
Right,
which is really good, because don't have to take it too seriously.
That's what Hegel, German philosopher.
All right, yes. I was hoping someone would know who said that.
Who said that?
Hegel.
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 Here is one quick thing before Ioana shares. If we're learning from reading as well as writing, and we're writing about what we want to know, I just want to share a quick piece of writing which is part of the philosophy, which is seeing as if from that mind who maybe seeing from the guest perspective in a stable way. So it's a reference point when I'm writing to myself. To become a guest means that whilst here in a corporeal body, you stay light. That is, so with your intellect, you remain constantly in the stage of above. Let the foot of your intellect always be elevated. So this is so nice. It's like this perspective which would see that it's natural that we're just here for a short time in this room. So your foot of the intellect is always in an elevated stage. And the question, are you becoming that or have you already become that? Is it easy to see yourselves as temporarily here, or do you have to process? It's like, if you consider yourself to be a guest, the more you do that, the more you will be light, and you will walk and move around. You will feel you are being light, and you would feel yourself to be free from limited consciousness. And you will have less sorrow and confusion, or you'll be free from sorrow and confusion. So it's powerful, feels like a perspective which is seeing that as natural. And I use some of this philosophy, it helps me in my writing to sort of take that perspective.
Thank you, Sarah. Maybe a different question from what I thought before, but somehow what you said right now at the end, I wonder if any of you are thinking of this aspect of inspiration or grace. Because Sarah was speaking about writing in an automatic way sometimes, so you just go to the paper and you write, but do you have the feeling that sometimes there is an inspiration that you are waiting for, and until that inspiration is coming, you are actually not writing? And for me, this was definitely important. Meditation helped me to find out when is the moment to write and when is the moment not to write. So I'm probably on the other side. I would wait. I would meditate and wait and wait until the right moment or the right inspiration is coming. and what you were reading right now, I don't know what was your experience while she was reading, but for me it was actually taking me back into that space where I have no conflict inside, no fear, no insecurity, as if you are seeing the broader picture, as if I'm seeing from a different point where I can see exactly what I'm going to write, as if someone is looking at you now, can see all the ideas of Joanna, can see what should be written, why, what motivation, what to write first, what to write second, what to write third. And from that perspective, everything comes as if you're reading a book, and I'm just translating, I'm just mapping it from what I'm reading to what I'm writing. Such a perspective of this observer, of this guest. And maybe one little story that brings us back to reality. Mm-hmm. It's not always like that, isn't it? So in this little story, a master was, he was a master in the art of writing. And he had to write a very beautiful inscription on a gate of wood. The time was passing by and he was not completing that. It was a very short inscription, but he wanted perfection. And why he was not completing that, or it was correlated, he had a disciple that was sitting next to him all the time. And he was saying, "Master, it's good, but it's not perfect." And he would finish doing all that work in wood, hours. The disciple would say, "It's not perfect, Master. Not good, not good. Here you put it, comma, it's not, it's a sign." So the master was starting again and again and again. Until one day, when the disciple was not there, he went out to, I don't know, to buy some, not just to bring some water, long way to bring the water. So the disciple was not there. So very quick, master immediately went, he wrote the inscription, and even now they remember how beautiful it is, because it was perfect. So he just got the moment when the disciple was not there. The disciple is a chattering mind. So who is this disciple inside us? Maybe it's easy to imagine. And we have to catch the moment when he is quiet, and then you start writing. The noble soul. And I wanted to give another example, because you mentioned about leaving a trace, and I remember many years ago writing a thesis, a master thesis. And the thesis was very good. They said you should submit it as a PhD thesis, because it was very good. And I didn't. And time passed by, and what I was observing right now is that I never went back. I never went back to that research. I was never really going back to read that thesis again. It was as if when you finish something, and maybe that soul is putting down on the paper everything they had to do, somehow you complete that chapter, and I never had the feeling that it's mine, or it's important, or I have to go back to it. A complete detachment of that result. I wonder if sometimes I don't finish certain things. Maybe I don't experience that recently, but maybe that is one aspect. When you're happy that you have finished it, then you can let go of the results. If you would like to make some comments or questions.
One thing I was just thinking, anyway, I felt like I got out of my outburst, right? It was like, there's this thing that's inside me, it's like what I'm thinking, you know, like with medicine, with the human body, and even when I was younger, I started thinking about this, you know, there's like the blood vessels, you've got the red ones and the blue ones, you see, the red ones are the ones that are pumping from the heart, and there you can say that is the really strong emotion or the high blood pressure. There's, and you want that, and you need that kind of, you need that life in you. And then, but there's the blue veins, And you also need that, which is the when that red blood needs to be recirculated, it comes back as the blue blood, but you don't have to do anything active for it to come back. It's the veins, and but there, it's you need that. Sometimes you need to be active, and sometimes you need that quiet time as well to recover. And without it, you just have a heart attack. I think there's something about it that was as well created. You need those times when you're really active. And then those times when you can look back at what you've learned, you know, that's just as important, really, because it's this cycle, really, as well, of having getting confidence as well in what you're doing, and getting motivation that takes you around the cycle again, and then you put more active into it, and then it comes back again. Getting that cycle going, I think that's helpful.
Just one question, maybe. I write so many things, so many books everywhere.
Yes.
There's just on happiness, there's thousands of books coming out every year. And so much to read. Why add more to this? Stop writing. No more. That's it.
It's a nice question, whether there is a world without writing. How would be that world and mind? It would be very free mind. Is it possible? What are your thoughts on this very quick? In a perfect society, do you think that we're going to write about it?
Are we writing for ourselves, partly, or is it for the world?
No. I think it's very cathartic, isn't it? So there is this need to write.
Yeah.
But to publish is another question. There probably is too much publishing.
Yeah. Write and don't publish it, hide it in the loft or something.
If you're not writing, actually, you know, writing the words down, there's still the need to tell the stories somehow.
Yeah. And it used to be oral tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
And so do we lose something, or what is the shift with that?
Yes.
Maybe our memories were better. Must have been. And that's the thing with Socrates, Plato. They were concerned. One school of thought said it could create such intelligence in the society at the time. But I think it was Socrates who was saying, no, it will make men poorer because they'll feel they know something, but they'll actually use it as an external. They won't necessarily remember and understand. At that time, it must have been a fascinating time to observe the change. It's a bit like computer digital revolution, you're sort of seeing the shift and the memory capacity is less, but they said it's useful as reminders but not for to actually remember. And I know that I sometimes, if I use writing too much, I don't remember, which I get take inspiration from Einstein, because he said, what was the quote, he didn't like to keep things in his head, he liked to keep it free, so you know, he didn't maybe remember certain things.
Telephone numbers.
So he would keep his mind free. But the thing is, it has a detrimental effect because you're not using certain capacity. So if you're writing a lot, you may be offloading, but perhaps we don't always remember. So useful for reminders, but maybe we have to be cautious also. And we lose an oral tradition. So stories, maybe, but maybe we don't need to write them.
I remember a story of Niccolò Machiavelli, a political writer. He was exiled from Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And he was writing a letter to his friend and said, oh, my life is awful, I was in a fantastic position in the Republic of Florence, now everything has changed and my life is dreadful. But every evening I put on my coat and dress very elegantly and then I'm going to go into a conversation with Cicero and with Plato and I'm talking to this, he's reading books. Mm-hmm. So, and he's talking, he has conversation with all these classics and all these prudent men, but this smart man, this intelligent man, so this is something that's so good. So, this is hard for me, as a perfect society that we can. This is different, just reading, just of course engaging with what he said, he has conversation with these people, because this is, I won't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, this is related to what you said in the beginning, to relate to other people, their right to
mm-hmm. It's like you're bringing that personality into your life.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it leads to society where we don't need, I mean, if there is a certain realizations that we're getting from books, and if we're going through a time where we can't go on forever, self-realization, then there's such a movement now of this, maybe we don't need to always, maybe things change, maybe there will be some future where there is not the need, I don't know, but it's an interesting, where does it lead to? it's wonderful. To bring that history, as if it shrinks history down, so we can actually get access to these different grades. Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Shall we have a few minutes of meditation? And then
yes. So, you don't need to sit in any particular way. Just have a few minutes. So for these few moments. Becoming the observer, this room and the sounds, a sense of presence, tuning into the being behind the actions, giving that space. The perspective of the traveller travelling through the story of life, this traveller is ultimately free, travelling through different scenes. The story of life. In a second, create thoughts, contemplating the essence of the being. Being of peace and stillness. Think beyond the words. Essence of the self. That language can point to. Essence is silence, peace and stillness. Rich in contentment. So from this noble mind, you can contemplate the being that is free, coming as a guest, entering the story of life, and playing a part. Continuing in the story, but can remain free. The second can be the observer.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you for coming. next Monday from 7 to 8, Art of Hospitality. Very welcome to join us.